everyone I meet. Just give me a friendly hello. I know the bird is in trees. All sing a symphony.
All right, you heard a little bit. We did a little intro here. We've had some incredible back and forth technical situations, but that's a beauty of a live show. Welcome to Chicago Music Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com founder, and also the Director of Programming and Entertainment at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. We're trying to get two people here on Skype today for the show. Wayne Powers being one of them, who you just heard singing, performing, and then also Brett Dean, who is leading the band, and he is the founder of the Shout Section Big Band. But we couldn't connect the Skype, so we're trying something brand new here on the show today, which I think is going to work. I'm going to direct a little traffic, but what you just heard was a little snippet, a little taste of what you're going to hear, because tomorrow night at 8 p.m., they're going to be dropping a tune on their YouTube channel, on their Facebook, and everywhere else. And we're going to talk to them both in a second. I've got Wayne Powers on the phone. Wayne, how are you?
I am well. And you know what? It works out great because I look a lot better this way.
And now I'm bringing Brett Dean, founder. And there's Brett. How are you, Brett?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. So I'm going to direct traffic a little bit. Now, Brett, why don't you take the reins on this one? Talk a little bit about the video that you're going to drop, when it's going to drop, where it's going to drop, and what the premise is. And then I'll ask Wayne, since he's performing on it and singing, we'll talk a little bit about the tune with Wayne. So why are you putting the video out at 8 o'clock tomorrow night?
You know, that's a question. You know, things are starting to open a little bit across the country, and we thought, you know, now is a this out on Memorial Day weekend, and people will be kind of busy, but we want to have something, you know, really nice for them on a Friday evening after a long work week, maybe kind of kick back and get in the mood for a balloon song. And there's no better saloon singer, I think, than Mr. Wayne Powers there. And with the Shout Section Band, we had been doing some of the stay-at-home virtual ensemble, and we had done some videos, and I reached out and thought, you know, I'd love to have you do one of these with the band. And he said, that sounds great, but let's start with the beautiful song that I've been dying to do. And so we started the process with this tune. We're going to drop it tomorrow night on Facebook and YouTube at 8 p.m. Again, it's just, you know, I think we were thinking about picking the right time of night to listen to a saloon song.
Well, and 8 o'clock on a Friday seems to be the right spot. Now, Wayne, you know, the tune that you picked, talk a little bit about the tune. And I know you've performed with the band numerous times, not only live, but we just played a little clip of you being on WGN when you guys did a couple of different hits on WGN. So you've been performing with the Shout Section Big Band on and off here for, what, a couple of years now?
Well, no, just a little over maybe about a year.
Okay.
And coming in and guesting with them. They're a fabulous band. They're just a great band. And I love, you know, for a vocalist, you know, Mike, you have to know, for a vocalist to be able to have a big band behind you, really swinging or really filling in it's like, you know, the wind beneath my wings. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And as a vocalist, I can do a whole different thing than I would do if I were just performing with a trio or just a piano. So it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. Because of all that power underneath you, you can sort of glide on top of it. And, you know, it's like the band is digging all the ditches and I'm having all the fun, you know, going for a ride. You know, it's a great feeling for a vocalist. I just love it. And my experiences with the Shout Section, Brett's a wonderful director and the musicians are terrific. All really great folks. And we've played in a variety of places, Gerald's and over Fitz's Keys. And in fact, we had scheduled the first time I was actually going to do a full evening concert. And it was really my stuff, a full evening concert of my stuff with the big band. And it was the week everything got canceled because of the coronavirus. So that was very frustrating.
Of course.
It was very frustrating. Oh. We had rehearsed and we really were very excited about the concert. So, you know, we're sitting here in Sequesteredville and I'm an old singer. I was be in saloons. I was in there anyway, singing. And so that's my background, you know, in music. That's where I come from. And all the different styles of music and dance that I have performed over the years, they've all been related in one saloon, a bar, whether it's, you know, the traditional Twist Jazz to perform in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, all easy. You know?
Sure.
And the later stuff, it's you know, the, you know, I hate to say it's like Rat Pack stuff, but it's stuff that comes out of Vegas lounges and saloons and people who really wanted to perform the poetry of some of the great American songbook. Because melodically and lyrically, it truly is great poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And the song we're doing is a song from Johnny Mercer and Jimmy Van Heusen. Now, you can't get much better than that.
No, not at all.
You know, it's the gold standard all the way. And Johnny Mercer had, in the 1940s, he wrote a song with Harold Arlen called One for My Baby and One for the World. Yeah. It was quarter to three, no one knows the two names.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a step back in 1940. And then Sinatra did it up with Tommy Dorsey, and then he recorded it. And it's become, that song has been identified with Sinatra for years because of brilliant way. And it's a classic quintessential saloon song. You know, that whole feeling of being in a bar late at night, poor guys having some problems, need somebody to talk to, and, you know, there's wet quarters, soggy dollar bills on the bar. And, you know, it's that whole image and that whole feeling. We've all been there. We all know this guy. Maybe we've been this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we relate to that. And experiencing the note from musically that other people experience the same releases it in us. It's like blues. You know, being the blues is a sad thing. The blues is a joyous thing to sing. And even darkest blues are a just thing to sing because they are a release. The same thing with saloon songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the old torch songs are a release. So anyway, so quarter to three, One for My Baby and all that, 1940. Well, a lot of decades went. In the 70s, Johnny Mercer teamed up with Jim Van Heusen to write this tune, which we consider One for My Baby Part 2. And it's called Empty Tables.
Mm.
It's a great song. Nobody does it. Sinatra recorded it, he did it in 1975, an album he was going to call Saloon Songs. But the song, the album concept fell apart. It never got done. And so he wound up recording it two or three times, all the time as a B-side of a single. And so it never got any traction. And he actually, in concert one time, remember, he was voicing his frustration that this wonderful tune has never gotten anywhere. Well, I said, I'm going to give it a shot. And, you know, if I can follow in the chairman's footsteps, you know, I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to try and give this song voice because I've always loved this song. And it's one of the songs that very few people do. So we did it. And we got Stuart Seal, who's a wonderful, really wonderful young pianist with the Shout Section Big Band. He's got that Miller touch. He's got that Ralph Sharon touch when he wants to. He can really connect with me and catch my phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few piano players that really know how to do that. You know, Sinatra told my friend Joe Parnello, who played piano for him for a while, Joe told me that Sinatra told him one time, "That's really great. I love the way you're playing that. But don't play so many notes." So, you know, when you're in a tender song, a poignant tune like that, it's what you play as well as what you don't play.
Right.
And
yep.
So there's that wonderful, that marriage between the piano and the human voice that is, when it works, it's magical. Well, Stuart can do that. And I love performing with him and singing with him for that reason. There are other piano players in this town who also can do that, but not everybody. Not everybody can do that.
Well, it's an art playing with a vocalist, and
sure,
especially an art playing with a vocalist playing a saloon song style tune, because it's,
yep,
a whole different ballgame. So you set it up perfectly, because I mean that's the trick of the whole thing. You cannot overplay on that, because you need to give the vocalist time to tell the story and truly
and
tell
the story.
Yep.
It is a story. And so when we did this, a song I've been aching to do, and here I am in Sequesteredville, you know, just lockdown village over here. And I'm sitting in my bar in my home, and I'm saying, you know, this is a song I want to record right here at my bar. My bar is still open. You know? So I sat at my bar, we hooked up the camera, and Stu did the piano, and I did the vocal, and I think we created a little bit of magic. You know, with all humility, there was a lot of talent coming from a lot of people. Brett helped set it all up technologically, and we just created something. And we didn't do it like, you know, hey, here I am at my computer singing for you. You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's like, you know, we want something maybe a little bit more than that. We made like a little music video.
Yeah.
It's beyond just, you know, hey, here I am in my pajamas singing for you.
Are you in your pajamas in the video? No, that might get more people tuning in.
Afterwards, but we turned the camera off for that. Okay. I have a respect for my audience.
All right, so that's going to come out tomorrow night, Friday night.
Sure is. I'm so excited. I really am very excited because it's the first creative project I've been able to do since this lockdown happened.
Yeah, well, and that's been the struggle with a lot of musicians. I mean, they've been trying to find their way digitally around the internet here. So let me give all the plugs here. So it's going to be on ShoutSection.com, I would imagine, on WaynePowers.com, and on your social media platforms, both of those.
Right.
We'll share it out off of Chicago
Records Facebook page. Will be on there as well. It's my record label.
Okay, and we'll share it out off of Chicago Jazz Magazine Facebook, and you know, we'll do all of that. Now, before, because I'm directing traffic here, because everybody can hear me, but Brett can't hear Wayne as well as Wayne can't hear Brett, so I'm going to direct traffic now. So I'm going to jump back over to Brett and ask him, let's talk a little bit about the big band, because ShoutSection.com, that's the name of the website for the Shout Section big band. Starting a big band is not the easiest thing to do. And then actually keeping it going. And then coordinating rehearsals and coordinating schedules to even be able to perform anywhere. I mean, all of these are daunting tests that a lot of musicians understand, but a lot of the people that show up to your concerts do not understand. They don't have a clue. They're like, oh man, these guys sound great. They all must have just pulled up in one car and came in. This is fantastic. So talk a little bit about the background of the big band.
You know, I was talking to somebody about this really recently. Where did this come from? Like, why in 2007 would you start a band scratch? And you know, I think it was just from talking to mentors over time, as one of them had told me, you know, it's good to start someone else's scene, but it's also really good to start your own. And you know, from there's so many great big bands in Chicago. We're blessed, I think, you know, in terms of great big bands, and they all have a unique sound and they're all a little bit different. And I mean, that's the best parts of the big band swing era right there, that each one had a little thing and had its own kind of sound. And you know, we kind of hit on a thing where we're playing for dances, and that kind of directs us to kind of focus on 30s early 40s swing music and says at a dance tempo. Now the thing is about that, you know, there's only so much out there, and that kind of led us to explore, you know, the B-sides of Basie records, you know, and stuff that had the great classic sound but maybe, you know, very few people have ever heard. So, you know, we do deep dives into Buck Clayton and, you know, some of those arrangers. And you know, we also I think the thing that kind of keeps it going and keeps it fresh for the players is we'll do the retro arrangements of modern pieces that we think can handle the transition back to a big band style. Sometimes I let the arranger surprise us, you know, and say, you know, can you something that's going to work? Sometimes I've got an idea. And a lot of times I'll work with the arrangers and we'll go back and forth and make something that'll stick and that the audience likes and the dancers like, and that's really where Shout Section is right now. Now I'd love to do more like in a concept setting and things like that. And, you know, if there's a silver lining in the whole COVID experience the last few months, is that we've been able to, we haven't had to do anything at Dance Tempo in a long time. And we've been able to kind of go nuts. So the first thing we did was, as the world was starting to fall apart and, you know, I think right around, you know, late February, there was a plague of locusts, like, traveling from the Middle East towards China. And we just started hearing about this virus, and there's political turmoil everywhere. So I talked to one of the Rangers, John Dorhauer, who I work with really often. And I said, hey, man, I think now's a great time to see if we can make a jazz big band arrangement of It's the End of the World as We Know It by REM. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But let's see if there's something there. And so we did that one. We hit on a good arrangement. John wrote a good arrangement for the band. And that was our first kind of foray into the virtual ensemble. And I don't know, the thing caught a little bit of a tailwind and got like 25,000 views, like,
wow,
pretty quick. And
wow.
I don't even really know how that happened, but we were happy people were there. And then that we went with our vocalist, Amy, and we did this cool arrangement that he had done for Mifflin and Dyer,
yep,
on the Swingin' for Sh album. And we brought in Amy and we did that. And then recently we Radiohead too. And we kind of merged it with a Beatles sound and put some horns behind it. And we did, and Nick Drozdoff is kind of doing a nerd style scream solo over it. And yeah, I think it's just keeping the band together is about keeping it fresh. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing stock charts, you know, for these dances. There's so much great music out there. I mean, I'm sure every musician feels like that. It's like, you know, so many great tunes, so little time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also want to go in a little bit into left field and have a little bit of fun with the audience and, you know, have somebody say, did you just play Queen's, We Are the Champions? And yeah, and we'll do that one in a Little Darlin' style. We have a Neil Hefti-like arrangement of that. So it's, you know, just bringing something new for the guys so that they feel energized when they go out there on the stand.
Well, and also, I mean, you know, making big band music accessible to the casual music fan. And that's really the key. And you know, Wayne, jumping back over to you, I mean, that's really, you know, part of doing this virtual video that's going to be out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on all of the different social media platforms for Shout Section for Wayne Powers and also WaynePowers.com, ShoutSection.com, and then we'll put it out on Chicago Jazz Magazine social. Wayne, you know, I mean, doing something like this and making it that video and being able to reach out, I think you're going to probably hit a lot of people that are casual music fans that maybe are not familiar with you as a vocalist, the big band as a band, but also even the tune. I mean, this is a tune that not a lot of people have heard. I haven't even heard this tune, so I'm looking forward to it. And I consider myself as knowing probably 99% of all of the Sinatra stuff because I love Frank Sinatra. So it's interesting that I haven't heard it. So this is going to be great. But also the way you're doing it and the way you're pushing it out on social, you're going to connect with a lot of those casual music fans that really actually like this stuff, just don't know what it is or how to even refer to it and how to get a hold of it. Right.
I know. I agree. And, you know, and you're talking about, you know, any of the older styles of music, you know, when I, you know, ragtime and, you know, all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that think, oh, this is old style music, I can do that.
Right.
And they can't.
Right.
You know, they're not capable of doing it. They don't, you know, I remember, like, you know, we had a 1920s band in St. Louis. It was a hot jazz 1920s band. And we did a lot of the old, really hot, we had a C Melody sax. And we had, you know, I mean, all the original instrumentation. It was a roaring band. We had people from the St. Louis Ragtimers and people from the St. Louis Symphony. And, you know, we filled out the band and it was a killer band. But what we were doing was the real deal.
Yep.
And then you go to, like, Straw Hat Pizza, and the guys with the straw hats and the, you know, the garters, and they're, you know, they got the banjos going, and that's like, it's so cliche that it's so far removed from the actual musical creation that music, that type of music was, that it just gets further and further away. Well, the same thing happens with Great American Songbooks. You know, you hear some of the some of the top 40 or rock musicians now putting out top 40, putting out the Great American Songbook albums. Yeah. Now, some of them are pretty good. Some of them, they really should have stayed home that day. Yeah, I mean, it's not their genre. Right. It's just not. And it's not a genre that anybody can do. There is a set of standards that you have to apply to that genre. You have to pay attention to the lyrics. You have to be able to tell a story. You have to be able to pay homage to the melody and then know when you can go off the melody. I always try to, when I do any tune, I really try to pay a little bit of respect to the composer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm singing straight out jazz, I'm still going to sing the melody first.
Right.
You know, right. I want people to hear the melody and hear the words that the lyricist wrote as close as I can get to them. You know, mm-hmm. Not to say I never mess up lyrics, because sometimes I do. But the intent is always to do the song as written with a little bit of flair and style that's mine. And then, you know, we set it free and we can play with it. You know, and you set that groundwork, that foundation. Well, that's the way I approach a lot of my music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when I hear a lot of the Great American Songbook stuff and all these Sinatra tribute artists and stuff, it's not a tribute the way some of these people are doing it. It's really not. I mean, I hate to break the news to them, but it's really not.
I'm not disagreeing with you. So, hey,
because everybody has a right to create and perform.
Right.
But you shouldn't think that just because you can lift up a glass of Jack Daniels that you can sing Sinatra's tunes. You know, it doesn't work that way.
No.
And people think that Sinatra sounded so natural and it sounded so easy and effortless. They have no idea how meticulous and what a hardworking vocalist he was. He was a musician in the true sense of the word. He worked every one of those tunes down to the nuance, the slight nuance. His breathing was sensational. Everything about him, his phrasing, that wasn't haphazard. That wasn't just off the top of his head. Exactly what he was doing. He worked at it very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that work never shows. And that's the tribute to the artistry and the work standard of a performer is when the work doesn't show. You know,
that's right. When it looks effortless.
Well, and same for an instrumentalist.
Yep.
You know, if you're thinking about where the notes are going, you're not playing it.
Right.
You know, it's called playing music, not working music.
Well, that's, you know? that's exactly it. I mean, and you know, Brett, to your point, what you do with the big band and John Dorhauer's been on the show, one of the videos in the past, great guy, great arranger, but I mean, bringing to Wayne's point, you guys make it look effortless. And then when somebody has to come up and say, hey, was that a Queen tune? That means to me that the band was able to just fall right into it, make it sound completely natural to play a Queen tune that way. And to me, you're also reaching out and you're getting that other audience, that casual music fan that you're going to be able to bring in. So then they'll go back and they'll start to discover the Sinatra stuff that they probably would never have listened to in a million years. And then all of a sudden they'll be like, oh man, wait a minute. That band played, you know, End of the World as We Know It. And then what are these other tunes? And they check it out. And of course, then they should all go to shoutsection.com. And buy all your recordings and catch up on all of the back issues so that they can get a full rundown of the entire band, right? But I mean that's really the premise. And I love the fact because I've heard some videos of Wayne singing with the big band, and I think Wayne's voice working with the Shout Section big band, and Brett, you tell me, I think it's perfect because his voice is dynamic, it's swinging, he knows how to perform, obviously, with all of his you know, not just musical acumen. I mean, you know, he's been on hit TV shows and everything else. So he knows how to work in front of a band, knows how to talk to an audience, knows how to work with an audience. And the band behind him just falls right in. I think it's a perfect match. Brett, how did you connect with Wayne initially?
Oh my gosh. It's a great story. I mean, maybe it's not. I love the way it happened though. We were doing a show at Fitzgerald's and it was, oh gosh, probably a year and a half ago. And in one of the breaks, this gentleman comes up, And he's like, hey, I'm Wayne Powers. And, you know, you guys are sounding great. You know, I've really enjoyed your show. And he was there with his family. And he's like, you know, I'd love to give you my CD and have you listen to it a little bit. I think you'd really like it. And, you know, he was really great. I loved talking to him on the break. And, you know, it was obvious right from the get-go, you know, how much he knew about the music. I mean, that's instantly communicable. Mm-hmm. And as I'm, you know, kind of up there fiddling, getting ready for the next set, I'm looking at his CD. I'm like, wow, there's great tunes on here. You know, some deeper dives and everything. And, you know, one of the things that he had mentioned is he's like, if you ever want me to come sing with the band sometime, and usually that offer is made, and then, you know, the band leader will reach out and maybe the next gig or something, you know, invite him along. But I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out to that guy that I was just talking to, and I'm going to see if he wants to do one right now. You know, I didn't want to pass up that opportunity. And, you know, I asked Wayne, I was like, Wayne, is there anything you do right now? You know, we've got a great book of tunes. You know, we've got a pretty extensive Sinatra library. If you'd like to take a look at any of those. And he's like, well, how about something, you know, that you guys probably play all the time? How about Under My Skin? And I was like, sure, let's do it. And so I turned around to face the band, who by this time was already up there getting ready for the next set. And I said, guys, get up Under My Skin. And so just right there on the spot, just kind of brought Wayne up. And Wayne's like, oh, okay, like right now. Yeah, you want to do this now. And so we got him up there right away. And, you know, I knew he sounded great. And I haven't been able to hear what he's been saying, but I'm not surprised he's made you laugh so many times. He has this way of digging into the lyric in a way that I'm used to listening to Sinatra and communicating that lyric as a story and as a narrative. And that's one of the things that I really like about working with Wayne, is that his musicianship isn't just about the melody or, you know, or finding interesting notes, but it's also communicating the lyric, and gosh, he does a great job of it.
Yeah, no. And that's a lot of what we've been talking about. And, you know, just to kind of, before we close this whole thing out, of course, everything's going to come out 8 PM tomorrow night, Friday night, shoutsection.com, waynepowers.com, the new release, and, all of our social media stuff, we're going to push that out as well. But Wayne, you brought up a great point. I think this leads in right from what Brett was just talking about. And I wanted to follow back up before we kind of wrap this whole thing up. But, you know, your whole past history and everything as an accomplished actor and voiceover person. And I mean, you've been on hit TV shows and everything. But leading back to what you were talking about before I asked Brett the question was, you make it look natural regardless of if you're singing or if you're performing, if you're doing a acting gig or something like that, it's all natural, right? And that's the key to the whole thing, is making it seem natural. So all of that buildup, all of that work that you've put in the background comes out, and it makes it seem like anybody could do this because it's so natural, but really nobody can do it because you have all of this stuff that you have to do leading up to it to get yourself to the point where you're able to do it in such a professional manner that it looks completely natural. That's what the Shout Section Big Band does when they perform. And when you perform with them, that whole thing comes out as well. So, but leading back into some of your other stuff too, I mean, with acting, right? Doesn't that all just kind of all flow together? You make it, everything look natural, no matter what you're doing. That's the key.
Well, yeah. And the only way to make it look natural is to do your homework.
Right.
You know, it's. I just did this last year. I did Sunshine Boys. I played the Walter Matthau part in Sunshine Boys. A huge role. I mean, you're not off the stage for more than a couple of minutes, and you're the engine behind every scene, and it's a really challenging role. But you do it. People said, "My God, it didn't even look like acting." Well, no, I'm not. If you do the homework, whether you're performing as an actor, whether you're performing as a vocalist, whether you're performing as an instrumentalist, if you've done the homework, if you've rehearsed and worked and given a lot of thought to the tune, to the script, to whatever you're working on, and you've really worked it and used your experience to guide you, and allow your, then it frees up your creative process. Mm-hmm. Because now the work part is done and the creative process kicks in. And that's stuff that, you know, that's how you do improv. You know, I was doing improv comedy back in the 1970s with Robin Williams and, you know, with John Ritter and all these people who all did improv comedy. But if you were thinking of what you're going to say next, you were dead. You had to just know that you've done the work, you're listening, you're in the moment, and you're going to allow what happens creatively, artistically, you're going to allow that to flow. And you're just going to let it go. And you're not going to overthink it because you've already done the thinking. The thinking is now finished. Now comes the performing. Hmm. And that means you have to be in the time, in the place, in the space, and allowing yourself to discover as you go along. And that's the wonderful part about it. We do all that work so we can experience that moment, because as an artist, that moment is transcendent. It's just a beautiful thing. As an audience, when I see someone doing that, it's thrilling, because it's truly, that performer can touch you. They can make you cry. They can make you laugh. They can get a genuine emotion out of you because they are truly in the moment in front of you. They're sharing something with you. And if you are open to receiving it as an audience member, you're in for a treat. You're in for a ride. And that's what I always try to do. You know, I guess I'm more successful sometimes than other times, but that's the way I approach it, at least.
Well, that's a great way of saying it too. That's a great way of saying it. And I'm trying not to go down the wormhole, because I'm going to have you back on another time, and we're going to talk about your career, because you mentioned being on stage doing improv with John Ritter and Robin Williams. So I mean, whatever. If I start going down that road, we're going to talk for the next 6 hours. But before I let you guys get off, Wayne, talk a little bit. Name of the tune again, 8 p.m. tomorrow night.
The name of the tune is Empty Tables. And here's the concept, Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, I told you, I've been in lockdown city over here. Well, I went downstairs to my bar, and I've got a full bar. I can compete with the Green Mill with my bar downstairs. And Dave doesn't like that, I don't think, because I got my own picture of Joey Lewis behind the bar.
Well, you know, Dave Gemmello might show up over at your place then sometime.
Careful. I hope he does. I love Dave. And I love the Green Bill. I mean,
he's the best.
You know, I miss that place so much. Anyway, but the tune is Empty Tables. And what I've been doing is I've been going crazy here, being locked down. I mean, I don't have a way to create. I don't have a way to express myself. I'm an artist. I have to have a canvas, you know? And so it's not just financially for all the musicians, although it's a huge deal. Yeah. It's also creatively. How do you have to express yourself. You have to be able to have that line stay open or it gets clogged up. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have an outlet. And so I thought, you know what? Who am I? I'm the sequestered saloon singer.
The sequestered saloon singer. I like that. That's exactly, a good,
and that's
perfect.
And that's exactly who I am, and that's exactly what I did. And we approached this as a sequestered saloon singer at his own bar, and here's what happens. And so you're in for a little bit of theatricality, a little bit of wonderful, wonderful Johnny Mercer and Jimmy Van Heusen music, and the brilliant piano accompaniment of Stuart Seal. And hopefully I'll take you along and tell you a story.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know everybody that's watching this and that will watch this in the next 24 hours is going to be looking forward to seeing it. And that's tomorrow night, 8 p.m., yeah. Empty Tables premieres on ShoutSection.com, on WaynePowers.com, all of their social. We'll share it on Chicago Jazz Magazine social as well.
Can I get one other thing in here?
Sure.
For you to dump me out? I just want to thank you, Mike, for all you're doing, because I don't know if you have fully the idea of how much what you're doing means to the music community in Chicago, but whether it's from Chicago Jazz Magazine and all your support, you know, I've been in many markets. I've only been in Chicago for a couple of years, but to see the enthusiasm and the diligence of the things you're doing to pump up the jazz community in this market is just really, it's amazing. And my hat's off to you. So I know I speak on behalf of musicians that I know and music I've never met. I know I do when I say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Those are really nice words. And, you know, we all got to stick together here and do as much as we can to get the word out about all this great music happening here in Chicago. That's for sure. So I appreciate that, Wayne. And you and I will be back on the show at some point in the next couple of weeks, and we'll talk all about your career. But I'm glad that we connected on this. And Brett, thanks so much for being on the show as well, the Shout Section
Big
Band.
Mike.
You guys have been around. I know I've seen the name. I've seen you guys perform. So it's great to finally get everybody here connected and talking about this great release coming out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. And we will link everything up. Wayne, thanks so much. And I appreciate you jumping on the phone. We did a little audible, and it all worked.
All the best to you.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. And Brett, I appreciate you being on as well. And we're looking forward to the premiere tomorrow night on all of the channels. And congratulations on everything. Because I know how much it takes to a big band. So congratulations to you. And hopefully we will see the Shout Section Big Band somewhere in person sometime soon.
Oh, I can't wait for that day, Mike. Thank
yeah, no,
you.
Right. All right, Swain. Or thanks, Brett. Take care.
See ya.
Let me move that back over here. And there I am, and I've got to get that off. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a day of technology here, technology. But we made it work. We made it work. So I appreciate everyone bearing with us. But, hey, it was great having Wayne Powers on, having Brett Dean on, Shout Section Big Band. Hopefully everybody will check that out and check out the release tomorrow night, 8 p.m., I will remind everyone tomorrow, because we're going to be on the show tomorrow. It's our Blues Friday, so we're going to have Dave Katzman on talking about blues in Chicago and beyond. He's always got some great info, great hits, so we're going to be doing that. I know we won't have any technology problems with Dave. And then we're also going to have Petra Van Nouse on tomorrow night, and perhaps Andy Brown might join her too, her husband, I'm hoping. I haven't confirmed that yet, but I know Petra's going to be on. And so we're going to be talking about what she's been doing. Of course, she's the famous Petra Van Nouse of the Recession 7 and all of her original stuff that she does everywhere with her husband, Andy, and all of the other vocalese stuff that she does. It's going to be a great conversation. They're both from Cincinnati, came to Chicago. It's a great story, and we're going to talk about that. They do a live stream, too, on a weekly basis. So, okay, we made it. We made it to Thursday. So let's make it to Friday. Everybody stay safe. Everybody stay healthy. Remember what I always say. If you like what you're hearing, please share it. Please like it. Please tell your neighbors. Tell your family. Call the grandkids. Right here, Chicago Music Revealed. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Blues and Beyond with Dave Katzman, Petra Van Nouse, and myself.